Blog Talk Radio.
Revolution is the solution. If you work in corporate America, be a revolutionary. If you work in government, be a revolutionary. Gather material, gather information, learn everything you can. If you got a high level of security clearance, you can go in doors that other Negroes can't go in. You go in and see whatever you can see, and then bring it back to your black community so that we can be all that we can really be. Be a revolutionary in whatever you do. This chapter should grow overnight. Every one of you that is not a member should join today. What else do you have to do? You say, well, I'm too old. You're not too old. We need you. We need your wisdom. We need your maturity. You say, I'm too young. We need you. We need your fire. We need your spirit. We need your zeal. You say, well, I'm middle age. I'm not too young. I'm not too old. I say, you're just right.
That's right.
For what needs to be done at this time, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad calls the time and what must be done.
Yeah.
The time and what must be done. I want to cover the 10-point program and platform and cover a few things with you. Why is the new Black Panther Party talking about God? Some of the original Panthers angry with us because we talk about God. They say ain't no religion in the Black Panther Party. That ain't, you ain't supposed to have no religion. You're a fool.
Right.
We don't want to do nothing where God is not at the center. You will never build a mass movement among black people if you leave God out of your movement.
Right.
It's silly. That's why all kind of lumping activity can crop up. That's why we end up with tons of drugs on top of our heads. Brought in by COINTELPRO, J. Edgar Hoover. That's what I said, J. Edgar Hoover.
J.
Edgar Hoover and the modern day Hoovers. Coming.
And we welcome you to another edition of the Black Power Truth Hour, sponsored by the New Black Liberation Militia here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Brother Anthony, and we're glad that you joined us here today. We're here every Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern here on blogtalkradio.com. You can also listen to us live at www.blogtalk.com/NBLM. Number to reach us is 516-453-9457. And I want to bring in my guest today. Of course, me and her have been friends for quite a while, and I'm very glad to have her on today to speak more about NBLM and her role in that. She is the National Deputy Commander of NBLM, Sister Dafia Shabazz. Black Power, Sister Dafia.
Black Power, can you hear me, Black Power?
Yep, I hear you fine. How are you today?
I'm fine, Black Power. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay.
Little faint. Just a little faint, but we're able to pick you up. I want to talk about your role in the movement. First of all, tell everybody about your role in the movement, what exactly you do and how you contribute to the movement.
First, I want to take out the time to, just recognize that we lost a queen today. Queen of Soul, Sister Aretha Franklin. And so I want all listeners to, remember this sister. This sister's a legend. And so me being a sister and a queen, and I just want to recognize that. And she's with our ancestors, and I just want to say, may she rest in peace, Black Power.
Black Power. And see, the thing I think people need to understand also about her is that if you just look at her as just a singer, you're missing the entire point. This was a woman that contributed to the movement as well. She was there for Angela Davis when she was going through her mess back in the day when they were trying to put her in jail. And, Sister Aretha was right there in the forefront you know, was you know, helping to help her be bailed out and everything. And
yes,
she should be remembered for that especially.
Yes, she definitely should be remembered for her involvement in the movement. Actually, she was involved with Martin Luther King and a lot of things. She was just a very
mm-hmm.
powerful sister. I just want to make sure that MBLM, we recognize her and let the audience know that we recognize her and we love her, and may she rest in peace.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead and answer the question. My role as the National Deputy General Commander of MBLM, first let me tell you a little about my role. My role is I'm just responsible for articulating the revolutionary position in MBLM throughout the Black Nation. I have to have a lot of knowledge regarding the BLA from the 1960s to the 1970s of the original Panthers. And a lot of people don't know what the BLA means. It means Black Liberation Army. We are the new generation. So we are the new Black Liberation Militia. My knowledge, I'm always researching, and I have to have that knowledge of that BLA. I also take out the time, and I preparedness and coordinate all the regionals and locals of the security and the military officers in the MBLM. So, you know, I'm basically very busy, plus I recruit, and it's kind of like I'm in the middle, but I am the person they can contact and turn to and alongside with the our Supreme Commander, Najee Muhammad, Black Power. Mm-hmm.
Black Power. And, you know, you have been doing this for quite a while. You know, you've been in the movement for a long time. I'm just curious, was it one thing that got you started? I mean, what actually got you started to join the movement as a whole, overall?
Black Power. Back in 2015, I always been involved in just standing up for our people. And so back in 2015, I started a group. It's called the Long Live Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And with that group, I started researching the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. And so that got me, like, really, really motivated to join. So in 2015, I decided to join the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. And that's when I really actually, in 2016, met you, Brother Anthony, because you came out
mm-hmm.
to one of my events in New Haven, Connecticut. And so
mm-hmm.
that's how you and I had met back then. And just
right.
trying to push the movement. Yes, at that time, I was just so motivated and try to push the movement. And so I stay motivated, try to push more than one movement in the eastern region in New Haven, Connecticut, and just kept on. But as time had passed, I decided to leave New Black Panther Party for self-defense, and I just was like, whoa, you know, it's just time for me to go in 2017. And I just want to, you know, when I joined that movement, I was just so motivated because I want to see our people rise. Always had that thing about, wow, you know, I want to see our people rise. I want to fight against oppression and white supremacy. And so that made me get, you know, join and stop. You know, I just want to stop seeing our brothers getting killed, a lot of that stuff that was going down at that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made me want to get involved. And so at that time in 2017, I decided to leave and join a new black militia. Black militia actually recognized my skills that I had, and I joined the national team, and I'm just very proud to be a part. That's what really, really made me and motivated me and wanted to, you know, get into the movement, and I've just been dedicated ever since. Yep.
Black Power. I can definitely attest to that, you know, because she is, you know, she has always done everything from the heart, and you can see that in her dedication to the group, and in and outside the group. You know, we were talking about, you know, I mentioned Angela Davis, and, you know, what people forget, I think, a lot is during, you know, whether it was, you know, the Black Liberation Army or the Black Panthers, you know, sisters were a huge, huge, huge part. You know, we always hear about, you know, the Bobby Seals and the Huey Newtons, but especially in the Black Panther Party, in many ways, the women actually really were the heart and soul of the Black Panther Party. Were you inspired by them in when you first started this?
Yes, indeed, I was. I was more inspired by the style of Asata Shakur. I mean, all of the sisters, original Panthers, they are just so motivated. They are my sisters. And so I took what they did and I tried to motivate sisters here now today. So basically, I was just inspired and still is. I'm still is because there's times I watch their videos and I just watch it, and it's just like, it's just something that triggers me at all times. And I want to get the message out to a lot of sisters to be triggered and intrigued just like I was. And I just love them. I love them. I want to see our sisters not be abused on the street. I want to see our sisters rise and do good things in life. And I want to see, you know, just the whole Black, African, Black nation stand strong. So, yes, I'm definitely intrigued and inspired by them. Yes, Black Power.
Black Power. And, you know, the thing is now, you know, in your role, one of the things you are, you know, you are trying to do is to recruit more females within the movement. You know, what are some of the ways you try to, you know, talk to the sisters and advising them why they should or why they should join the NBLM?
Yes, one of the things that I try to do when it comes to recruiting, and I'm glad that we have this thing and we have this rule that, you know, the brothers go to our defense commander and the sisters goes to me. This is a good thing because it shows that we are very serious and tedious about our recruiting style. And so one of the things that I try to do when a sister come to me and they're looking to join, I talk to them a little in the inbox first. If they call from, you know, if they inbox me from Facebook on social media, I try to talk to them through the inbox. If they talk to me on the phone, I talk to them before I send them to our defense commander for our recruit interviews because I want to know where their head is at. One of the things that I try to get across to the sisters is that they have to have the mindset of Asata Shakur because, if, like I said, if you research BLA, you'll know what I mean when I connect Asata Shakur to BLA. So it's very, very important because, you know, I have that strong mindset. I also have a strong mindset like Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. So, I mean, I have a mindset like Malcolm X. I just want the sisters to know that when you join a Black militia or you join any formation, you got to have that strength. You got to have that strong mindset. So I talk to them to see where their head is at. Then I wind up setting them up with an interview with our defense commander, Brother Trey, and then we take it from there. I would like for the sisters that think about joining to really, really be active, speak, and stand. Because one of the rules and regulations that I won't allow in BLM is a sister that will, you know, flaunt their body. I don't like that. I don't like to see that. Okay? Because you don't see that in Asata Shakur. You don't see her flaunting her body and talking about, you know, some of her intimate situations. No. So I want that sister to have that strength and that strong mindset when it comes to joining NBLM. Yeah. Black Power.
Black Power. And, you know, And you know, we talk about this a lot in regards to, you know, membership or what have you. There seems to be, and unfortunately here in our city, there just seems to be a general apathy in regards to this around, you know, I was real troubled yesterday. You know, I know you probably heard about the incident in downtown New Haven yesterday. I'm sure most people in the country now have heard about the incident in regarding the drug overdoses that happened in downtown New Haven yesterday. And to me, that whole episode is just sort of a microcosm of what's happening in so many of our cities, in the sense of there's a lot of people that have, you know, a lot of hopelessness to themselves, but also there are people that prey on those folks with that hope, that, you know, hopelessness. And it's a malaise that we as Black folks, male or female, we have to get out of that malaise, because let's face it, we know that they're out here, they want to, you know, they want to see our demise. They've been doing this for years. And now it seems, you know, basically none of the tactics haven't changed. It's just maybe we're a little bit more aware of it now, but we've been having to fight for our lives for years, and it just seems even more so now. But what bothers me, and I know it bothers you as well, is just the general apathy that in certain parts of the Black community.
Yes, Black power. It's all over the news. If those who not don't know, that's all they have to do is research the Channel 8 News, New Haven, Connecticut. What's happening is that we had a big rush of drugs. It's called the K-12 drug, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a mm-hmm. it's a marijuana. And what's happening mm-hmm. is you can't tell that it's in it. And what's happening is so powerful. Someone's passing it out for free in New Haven, downtown New Haven. And people are dropping. They're like overdosing. Some has died.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's real serious. All I heard was like today and yesterday, nothing but sirens going through the whole New Haven. This is a serious thing, but we as Black nationalists, and we are in the Black Power movement, that's why I'm trying to get something that can wake up our people. I'm trying to do an event after our collective training this month, looking to try to reach our people here in Elm City. Elm City is considered New Haven. And, you know, Anthony, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get you so that we do this together, and anybody in the Eastern region. I know we have a brother named Brother Robert Kiris. I think he's in our Eastern region. We all got to reach mm-hmm. out and just try to see what we can do and to reach our people out here in the Eastern region. But it's a serious thing. It's not just men. It's not just women. And it's not all Black mm-hmm. people. There's some Puerto Rican people out there that is actually mm-hmm. really, really involved in selling these drugs, too. They're trying to catch them, but this is a serious thing. And it's nothing to laugh about or sweep it under the rug, because our people are dying.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, how many? I don't know how many deaths they have reported so far. Was it two or three?
I think it's up to five now. I think a couple people passed, unfortunately, earlier today. And again, it's to me, it's very, very troubling, and it's very, very scary, because see, you know, even before the Orange Fool that sits at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue got there, we've been under siege. You know, a lot of people have been under the false misconception that, you know, when we had the 8 years of Obama, that you know, it was going to be, you know, some sort of utopia for us. But in many ways, this has been building up and building up and building up. And now, you know, these folks, you know, feel emboldened to blatantly, you know, come out after us, whether it's the president, whether it's, you know, police, or just in your jobs, or just in just trying to live your life. I mean, whether, you know, when you've got these people that are calling out the police on us for just trying to live our lives, it's scary, but it also makes me angry as hell, too, because, you know, we've been fighting all our lives. We're fighting the same fight that our ancestors fought, and it's ridiculous that we're still having to do this in 2018.
And it's a sad embarrassment for the New Haven, Connecticut, for New Haven. It's embarrassing. But like you said, it was five deaths. and they said it's up to 67 overdoses. You know, you can overdose and not die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, some people to understand that you can overdose and not die. So it was like, no, 76. 76 that's reported. But our goal right now, you know, we have to focus on what we're going to do for our city, our state, and to help reach our people. I don't really know exactly what we can do, but it's a serious thing. But like I said, after our collective training this month, basically, I'm going to see what I can do to reach out to the masses of our people here in New Haven. And we'll take it from there. It could be New Haven, Hamden, West Haven. It don't matter. I'm going to try to reach out and do a big event here in New Haven, because that's what we got to do, and we have to stop, try our ways, find our ways to stop, so we won't continue to self-destruct. Black power.
Black power. We got about a few more minutes here, of course, with National the Deputy Commander, Sister Stupia Shabazz, here on Black Power Truth Hour here on blogtalkradio.com. If you were, you know, I know we asked you earlier in regards to, you know, what you would, you know, say to Cruz, but if you were to try to explain what NBLM stands for and what we do as organization to, if you were to describe it to someone from the outside looking in, what would be your short description of what we try to do?
I'm going to try to sum it up in my own words. NBLM stands for New Black Liberation Militia, okay? Mm-hmm. And I will sum it up into the point where we're not a hate group. We are a militia, a form of it's a form of military-type format-based group. Formation. We need that because we got a lot of formations out there that's not actually military formation, but they're claiming it. Black militia, new black militia, us. We don't just claim it; we show and prove it. We show and prove it from the recruitment style on down to being a member. We're not flaunting in it. We don't be on Facebook putting up the black fish and not doing anything. We are a militia group, and when you use the word militia, we're not saying we're malicious. We're just saying that we're not going to take no mess. We're not going to back down. We are going to stand up, and we're going to stand up for our equality, justice, and freedom. That's what I look at, how I look at our formation, New Black Liberation Militia. NBLM, we call it NBLM for short. We sum it up just like any other formation, and we follow the 10-point platform program, you know, which was created by the original Panthers. And for the most part, we carry out the mission of the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. It's a serious thing, and some of those who don't know need to research our Black Power General. So that's how I can just, like, basically sum it up. I'm very proud to be a part. So that's all I can say. Black power.
I think you said it all, because, you know, automatically in this country, when we as black folks show strength and show, you know, that we're not going to be, you know, messed with, we automatically get, you know, get labeled. We automatically get, you know, I mean, we know how what happens every time that we try to defend ourselves, whether it be physically or mentally. We're always we're always going to be quote unquote considered the bad guy or the bad woman, and it just gets so tiring. And I'm one of the reasons why I'm, you know, glad to be a part of this group and spreading their message is that we need to stand up. You know, as a people, because we're under siege. I mean, I know I sound like a broken record. I say it almost every week when we're doing the show, but it needs to be reinforced here, because they're coming after us, and that's not being paranoid. That's just being real. That's just being real. Yeah. And what's sad is that so many folks don't realize it until it's too late. and then, you know, you can't, then you can't help them. You can't help them then.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Very sad. Very sad. Mm-hmm. Just run up against the clock here. Sister mm-hmm. Fee, again, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you spreading the knowledge. I appreciate having you on, and definitely looking forward to, you know, ventures down the road with what MBLM is going to do, and, you know, continued success and Black Power.
Black Power. Thank you. Black Power.
Black Power. And again, I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Black Power Truth Hour here on blogtalkradio.com. And we're sponsored by the New Black Liberation Militia. We'll be here every Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll be increasing our hours very, very soon. So please stay tuned for that. And again, thanks to Sister Shabazz for joining us. And most of all, thank you for joining us here on blogtalkradio.com. And we will see you again next week.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.